All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here with my buddies Chuck and John.
It's dark outside.
It's night.
Yeah.
We are recording this in the evening pallor? I don't know. It's not good.
No.
It's a winter.
Feels wrong.
A winter evening in Nashville, Tennessee. We're in the baby dungeon. It's darker than normal because there are no just beams of light cutting through the taped up cardboard.
I can hear family noises upstairs.
Yeah, that's no good. The wife and kid are home.
Little buddy family Bundgers. Spelled with a B, F-A-M-B-L-Y. Family.
Family. Yep. Buddy Bungers eating pizza.
The family cat is actually down here.
Oh, God.
Just hanging.
Shout out Cripple Cat.
Yep. Good old Cripple Cat.
That cat, I don't know how it survives.
My cat has a leg.
It drags its ass everywhere.
Yeah, its leg doesn't work. Back leg doesn't work. It had some congenital knee defects, apparently.
You have Sam Bowie, the cat.
We have a vet surgeon in the family.
Mm-hmm.
An uncle who has done lots and lots of...
Not the best, though.
No. Like, he saved this cat's life.
Doc Holliday, drunk on laudanum.
This cat's bladder necrosed. Oh. And so pet surgeon... You know, calls us and says, so turns out your cat, his bladder had necrosed. So we're like,
say that one more time, I'll slap your face.
So we think the cat is actually dead, and we're getting news on over the phone.
Is it a zombie cat?
No, he's okay. But
I
built him a new bladder out of some of his small intestine.
Oh my God.
So that I think that'll work. And that was like 7 years ago. But anyway, the cat can't move its back leg and drags its, you know, himself around. But it's really funny whenever we have like a new babysitter or a house sitter.
They think they've killed it.
They always text and like, hey, Mr. Parrish, I think your cat is hurt.
I think your cat's bladder is necrosed.
To which I always reply like, what did you do? So never gets old for me. But anyway, that's the setting for where we are recording this while NBA games are happening. Mm. We're like dunked on over here recording during basketball games.
Not great.
Not our style. But anyway... Gentlemen, turn back the clock to this morning. Did we have breakfast?
I did.
What'd you have, Chuck?
So I ate my breakfast at about 2 in the afternoon.
Turn the clock back to whatever you...
Right, because yeah. I wake up at a stupid hour. My breakfast, I got a shout out. Was it Chris Howell, I think?
Oh, yeah. Power listener from the very beginning, Chris Howell.
Chris Howell, OG in the Fast Break Breakfast game. He hit me up on Twitter and told me that Sonic was running a 50-cent corn dog promotion.
Good God.
So I went and had...
How many corn dogs are in your ventricles right now?
I ate 6 of them. And I had some tater tots. So...
6 seems excessive.
Are they
full, like...
I mean, it's like...
It's a normal size hot dog?
It's a corn dog that, you know, it's not...
It's what you think of corn dog when you say corn dog.
Just your regulation size, not jumbo,
so I
wanna
carnival
say 6
size. Seems how many... Like, if you ate a hot dog in a bun, what would your normal consumption be?
Yeah, I could do about 6. Yeah, 4.
So strange.
And then...
Like 3, I feel like, is kind of the upper limit of what like a meal of hot dog would be.
Chuck's one of the greatest eaters of our time.
Joey Chestnut over here?
I know you guys go, wow, 6, that sounds like a lot. But then I go, it's only $3 worth of corn dogs. So
well, that's like the Jack-in-the-Box taco.
Right.
I always order 6 of those and can only ever eat 2.
I was listening
to... Gets me every time.
I was listening to a friend of the show, Ian Carmel's podcast, talking about eating the tacos, how it's only $3,
right.
So it can't be that... It's not too much.
You can't be killing yourself.
Yeah, like if it only costs $3, there's no way it's a too much of a quantity.
So here's the thing, though. The Sonic I was at in Inglewood, the Inglewood Sonic in Nashville. The Nashville Inglewood, not the California Inglewood. They
Compton, Long Beach.
I guess a lot of people were eating corn dogs, and the quality of them was just significantly lacking. There were a lot of burnt parts on a few of them.
Hmm.
So
maybe
they're
working out the kinks.
Shame on how to fry a pre-frozen corn dog for 4 seconds. But whatever. It was decent, but my guts are wrecked right now. Just wrecked.
Yeah, Chuck had proposed to eat 20 more.
Right
after this podcast, but bailed at the last minute. Pulled the shoot.
Well, I had them, and I was like, yeah, I did 6. I could probably do, you know, for dinner.
Like, if you had to, you could do 20.
If I needed to for, like, glory.
You really have to see Chuck do this kind of outraged eating that he does to really appreciate it.
We will have to schedule this.
We'll get it. We'll get it figured out.
We'll get it done. We'll commit it to tape.
It's kind of shameful.
If one man could be compared to a legion of piranha, it's Chuck.
More the Dyson vacuum of eaters. Just very efficient and Swedish.
And Chuck, you did have like 11 siblings, right?
Oh yeah.
So you have the excuse you can use.
Well, I blame my Irish heritage and the potato famine. You know, when I see some food, I have to eat it all, or I might not eat again. You know, it's my genes.
That's fair. I had maybe the exact opposite, the polar opposite. I just had some handfuls of some organic honey O cereal.
Oh no, the opposite of a corn dog is a corn wrapping surrounded by a hot dog filling. That would be
correct.
The opposite. That would be bizarre.
Okay.
For some reason, that to me sounds more palatable than an actual corn dog.
Like biting into a hot dog and being surprised with corn breading? That seems all right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be upset.
I've done those hot dogs with the cheese filling.
Well, I was about to say, I find that disconcerting.
It is disconcerting, but when you stumble onto one, delicious.
I don't like my hot dog to be a gusher.
Oh, gushers.
Have like a different...
Gushers are so good.
Quality.
That's a great candy.
Hey, man,
texture.
If you're eating a good hot dog, it's a gusher regardless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have a chance to have
natural
breakfast?
Natural intestinal casing.
John, did you have some breakfast?
I did not have breakfast. I was on a like film set all day, so I had like the weird catering where like they obviously don't want to do breakfast, but they throw like a couple of options that are breakfast-y.
Right.
Like a Danish? No Danish?
Not a Danish, but just like, yeah. So that, like weird egg stuff. Like, what is that?
A frittata.
Yeah. It's like, what do you got down there? Where's my bacon? Where's my eggs? But no, it was an ill-fated video shoot.
You said the shoot got shut down because you were at the shoot. We had the podcast time scheduled and you're like, guys, it's not working out. We haven't shot a single thing
nothing.
Yet. We've been here for hours and nothing has happened.
I don't know if it was technical or if it was sabotage or what happened, but I didn't really get to do much. I didn't even really get to hang out with Billy Zabka, the director.
That's a pretty solid name drop.
That's right. Remember, guys, that's the guy who beat up Daniel LaRusso.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In Karate Kid.
Sweep the leg. Yeah. So
he looks pretty young, but he's got like a coarse-lined face.
Does he?
Yeah.
Probably a lot of surfing.
Looks young, but like... kind of tough young.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
kind of what he looked like.
Still afraid of him, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Well, those were our breakfasts. After our breakfasts, we move to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. It's also a good chance to talk about the NBA, which is we sometimes do for the very first time.
Sometimes.
Now. So does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
Guys, I have an admission. And I want to apologize for it. There have been times that I have smoked weed before this podcast.
Mm.
And I've gone into the podcast high. I'm not proud of this. There have been times where I'll just, after 3 minutes...
Can we call you Captain Chuck now?
No, you call me Captain Dimesack. That's what you call me. That, as the NBA's resident weed... expert.
Greg Popovich's best friend.
We're obviously talking about the fact that Steven Jackson said he smoked weed.
Now, I didn't have,
NBA games.
I have never had any positive confirmation that Chuck had done this. However, I like to consider myself the Donnie Nelson, Don Nelson. I didn't ask too many questions.
No, he turned the other cheek.
You know, if Chuck is ready to deliver when that ball goes up in the air,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You right. know, when that red light turns on, if Chuck's here, we have no issues.
I have terrible news, Donnie. Chuck has probably had more podcasts high than not high.
Well, I mean.
That's a theory.
It could be.
You'll know if I'm high because I'm like. Suddenly eating like pepper jelly out of cans with my hands.
There was that one car trip you had like $20 worth of snacks from a gas station near Chattanooga.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I can mess up a Stuckey's. Pecan logs.
But that's something I think in the NBA eventually we're going to tell our kids one day, you know, they didn't allow professional athletes to smoke weed for a while.
Right. These guys with chronic pain. They were very opposed. It's more going to be, hey, you remember the NFL?
Right. The guys who destroyed their bodies for a living.
Like, the doctors were giving them opiates.
Yeah.
Because those were legal.
Right.
But weed would get you suspended for a year.
Right. You know? For two false tests.
One of the funny things about Steven Jackson coming out, rumor has it, he also said, I believe, on Michael Rappaport's podcast. That Chandler Parsons is the sorriest player in the NBA.
I mean, I think we can all agree on that.
I mean, it's,
can we trade Chandler Parsons for Steven Jackson?
Oh, man.
Is that possible?
Right now.
I want to know how many ex-NBA
stoned
players
Steven
would
Jackson.
Look. How many players in this brand new 3-on-3 league would look better than Chandler Parsons currently does if just thrust into the same role?
Let's start Ice Cube. He'll look way better.
Mess around, got a triple-double.
Yeah, Ice Cube can ball.
Speaking of the Memphis Grizzlies, I will apologize. In John's very good game of scones from last week, a lot of great feedback on that, John.
Hey, now.
When we set it up with the alternative facts, we were saying Marc Gasol is the leading scorer of the Grizzlies, period. That actually, that was a fact. That's an actual fact. That's like an NPR. That's a national park fact.
He wasn't then, though.
No, he was. He averaged a point more per game than Conley did at that point. Because we were all thinking, because it always has been like Mike Conley was around 19 or so, mm-hmm. and Mark was at 18. But no, it was flip flop. I apologize. We actually got that alternative. I can't even remember.
Is Conley back on top after the 40?
No. Gasol explosion. Is still, and we'll talk about it more in the show, especially in the Grizzlies epilogue. Gasol tearing up this month.
Killing.
Yeah, anyway, but that's sorry for getting that wrong. John, you have anything you need to atone for?
Well, I haven't besmirched Isaiah Thomas, but I have referred to some of his on-court play as double-edged because of how poor he is at defense.
Right.
But honestly, at the level he's playing right now, you can't even really... That's too damning to call it right now. Because right now, he's averaging over 10 points per fourth quarter. He against the Pistons in a game that looked like they were going to lose, he scored 24 of his 41 in the fourth quarter. And now he's scored 20 points in the fourth quarter four times this season. And courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info, no one else has even done that more than once in many seasons. He's the reason that the Celtics are only 2.5 games behind the Cavs. So I have to give him full credit.
He's averaging 35 a game, I think.
It's insane.
In January?
It's insane.
I can't even imagine. I mean, that's into my statement, into my analysis.
Yeah.
it blows me away that this guy, you know, I liked him. Like when he was in Sacramento, I kind of thought of him as Damon Stoudemire 2.0.
Yeah.
As in a guy who averaged 20 points per game, you know, like kind of early in his career, but wasn't really that good. Mm-hmm. Like he couldn't do it on a good team. This guy needs to be scoring like 12 or 13.
Right.
But no, he's on a good team. He's averaging 30 points a game. He's 5'8" or 10 or 9 or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. The Pistons were throwing everything at him too. Like they were like Stan Van was really trying some interesting stuff to try to slow him down and nothing worked.
He's so locked in fourth quarters. His three-pointers just seems like everyone he lets fly in the fourth quarter, he just assumed it's going in, and most of them are going in. And, yeah, he single-handedly outscored the Pistons on the stretch.
Outside of a few chuck fests, he's doing it in an incredibly efficient manner as well. So, I'm sorry, Isaiah.
Chuck Fest is my music festival. I'm holding this.
Nice.
Summer. Yeah, in my backyard. Just me.
Is it just going to be you and Cypress Hill?
Yeah, and two dogs. We'll be smoking weed.
I still contend that the celebrity Chuck resembles most is the fat guy from Cypress Hill who just goes, in the brain.
Oh, I get a lot of Zach Brown.
That's not a sample. I always assume that was a sample.
No, that's that dude just yelling that just over and over.
Over and over.
Talking about Be Real?
Yeah, I don't know. Big one with like the Caddyshack hat on?
I think so.
I'm basing all this off of like a Beavis and Butthead episode probably. So,
yeah, you're not the resident Cypress Hill
expert
here.
Like that one.
All right, well, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs, I want to let everyone know the thing we announced on Monday's podcast. For February, if you write an iTunes review, we will read it on the air, give you a shout out. So if you want something you want to plug, someone you want to say hey to, you want to pump your Twitter handle, we will read it. Unless, of course, it is horribly, horribly offensive.
Yeah.
So feel free to go ahead and write yourself a five-star, any five-star iTunes review in the month of February. We will read on the air and give a shout-out. Also, an announcement for our Nashville listeners. We have a watch party this week coming up on Friday night at Double Dogs Sylvan Heights. That is not the Hillsboro Village Double Dogs. It is the Double Dogs on Charlotte Road. But anyway, this Friday, February 3rd, 7 p.m., for the Grizzlies and Thunder. All right, now for our Steak and Eggs best thing. What's the best thing you saw in the last week?
I mean, I was going to go, because as much as I would I'd love to talk about Chicago's dysfunction, I would rather talk about the resurgence of the Miami Heat, who have currently the league's longest winning streak as we speak right now.
They will be putting that to the test this evening.
This evening,
in a very big Southeast Division game.
As we speak right now, Deion Waiters, Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
Of the universe.
Of the forever.
Who had that long shot bet? Anyone holding that ticket?
Nobody. Nobody. That
Not even Deion Waiters' mother had that bet.
Deion had it, though. Every night he goes to bed going, I'm going to be Player of the Week this week. But game-winning shot against the back-to-back game-winning shots. Put the dagger in the Warriors game, a shot that I had no doubt that wasn't going to go in. Wonderful week for the Miami Heat. It's been a great January, specifically since we have a better record than the Cavs and the Bulls.
If you were born anew, or if you became if a new person started following the NBA as of
like January
2017,
right?
In their opinion, there are four good teams in the NBA,
right?
And they are
the Sixers,
the Warriors, the Wizards, the Sixers, and the Heat.
Right.
Maybe the Spurs, but I assume this person would not be watching the Spurs because I don't know anyone who watches the Spurs.
Even but basketball fans.
Australians.
Like, they're the only good team. Everyone else is just stumbling around.
It's that.
Like, the Raptors are terrible. Like, if this person wasn't reading people's analysis or power rankings, they'd be like, why are the Raptors high?
Right.
Like, why are the Celtics even the Celtics are winning, but it's still like the Cavs, like, cannot win basketball games.
Raptors need to row back.
The Rockets have been playing like garbage of late.
Yeah, they're like, this Heat team's unstoppable. You know who else I like? The Mavericks.
Right. Yeah. It's been it's that weird after New Year's, before the All-Star break, kind of like cluster bang of who cares.
I think that non-bleeped sounds dirty.
It sounds
way never, ever. let's never say cluster bang again.
Yeah, that's... That's way more horrible. Way more awful.
But, it's like this is kind of the, you know, people talk about malaise and the, like, you know, dog days of the NBA when people just don't care about, you know, the record. Because you've got this weird place where everybody kind of knows their position, especially at the top of the conferences where they know that barring a crazy injury, they're going to be in the top two or three seeds.
Right.
And, that, you know, it's there isn't any race. There's a race to the bottom. And there's a race to the eighth seed in both conferences, which it's kind of crazy.
I think let's table that for a little more into the scattered, smothered, and covered. John, you got a steak and eggs. What's your best thing?
Well, in this Orwellian, Philip Roth foretold hellscape we live in, I want to applaud the NBA and particularly some of its coaches for continuing to be a progressive voice and not be scary and weird like the NFL is, where they like fine you for raising your fist or for
kneeling
at the end. Yeah, don't.
Or like
good on you, NBA.
Writing on your cleats, like
right.
Like RIP my mom.
Yeah,
like
right.
Like, it's like that'll be $10,000.
Right. Are those cleats black? You're suspended.
Yeah. No, it was a weird week. There was some kind of confusion as to whether or not Thon Maker would be able to come back into the NBA as a Sudanese national after playing in Toronto.
I mean,
come back to the States.
We try to be apolitical outside of our every now and then Trump ad that pops up.
Right.
Really? But
I mean,
the idea that
Luol Deng is a thing.
The idea that people support some kind of concept where Luol Deng, who fled a war-torn country, made it into the NBA, and the fact that a country could come up with a law, like the American government could say, hey, let's have a law where if this man leaves the country, he's never allowed back in.
Right.
Just because he was born in South Sudan.
Right.
Like that is literally insane. But that's what how the leaders of the country
break up the. I hate to break up the forum, but I think I hear some music.
What?
Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage.
Are we delivered from our political diatribe?
Sorta.
With a, it sounds like a game of scones.
This week's game of scones is entitled, Give Me Your Poor, Your Hungry, Your Huddled Masses. This is a Banned in the USA edition of Game of Scones. So how this one's going to work, guys, is I'm going to describe, and you're both, no one's going first, no one's going last. I'm going to describe a foreign-born player.
Okay.
The first one to scream out and hopefully, well, sing out, Banned in the USA, gets to try and name that player for 1 point, and then for an additional 2 points, his country of origin.
Well, like the country of origin might be easier because it's one of seven, isn't it?
Well, we're taking it to its we're taking it to its illogical extreme.
All right, good.
The first to seven wins in honor of that in honor of those war-torn countries that we're refusing refugees from. But this can be anywhere. This can be from Mexico.
Okay.
And that's not an Edward Nahara hint.
Carlos Arroyo.
He's Puerto Rican. He's an American citizen.
Do you guys want to start easy, or do you want to plunge into some of the harder stuff?
I think maybe let's warm up a little bit.
Let's get the format down.
Okay, now whoever calls out first will be the winner. You'll get your first crack.
Was it banned or barred?
Banned.
Okay, banned.
Like, you know, like Dr. Luke. Come on. No, not Dr. Luke. Luther Campbell.
Banned in the
Dr. Luke is the creepy guy who, like, molested Kesha, so I should probably.
Right. Luke, it's Uncle
I should move
Luke
on. Uncle Luke. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. All right. This player may never quite have reached the expectations that Jerry Krause had for him, but did win NBA titles in 96, 97, and 98.
Banned in the U.S.
Keith.
Are we talking Tony Kukoc?
We are. That's 1 point.
Yes.
Give me a country of origin.
Ooh. Oh, he is. I feel like I would have gotten this if you hadn't.
I got this.
Okay, Chuck, you can steal this for 1 point.
Czech Republic.
He is from Croatia.
That's correct.
Ah. I froze under the lights.
So right now, that gives us Chuck with 1 point for the steal and Keith with 1 point for the steal. I did not award Chuck full points for the steal.
Okay.
But here we are to our next player.
That seems fair.
A scorer in an era of scoring on a team known for its scoring. But what he did as well as almost any player during a 5-year stretch, including a season that saw him average a career high 29.4 points per game in 1984. Top five.
Banned in the year.
There you go.
Are we talking Kiki Vandeweghe?
We are. Keith on fire.
I assume he's from Sweden. But I don't know that, just based on the name.
He's not. Chuck, can you steal?
He is from Norway.
That was a tough one because, you know, he was another NBA player, Ernie Vandeweghe's son, who happened to be playing in Germany.
He's born in Germany? I mean, I always assume Kiki Vandeweghe was born in, like, Iowa. Or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. So 2-1 me. 2-1 me, I think.
2-1 Keith.
All right.
This next player is averaging 16.1 points per game, 8.8 rebounds per game, 1.2 blocks per game, is a three-time All-Star in 2010, 2013, and 2015. Originally played for the Atlanta Hawks, but now plays for the Boston Celtics.
Banned in the USA. Al Horford.
That is correct.
And he is from La República Dominicana.
That's three big ones for Chuck.
Three big. That's a big score.
Got him. All right. This injury-prone center was a fixture on a Pacers team that went to 4 straight Eastern Conference Finals.
Banned in the USA.
Chuck.
Mr. Rick Schmidt.
And where was he from?
He was the dunking Dutchman.
That's
so
right.
He was from the Netherlands.
Chuck is only 2 points away from a decisive win.
That was an impressive run there.
You know what? You guys are getting too good at this. I'm going to get weird here.
Do it.
All right. High-level center who never made an All-Star game, in part because he played in a golden age of centers. Played for the Heat, the Warriors, and is currently
banned in the USA.
Chuck?
DJ Ronnie Cicli.
And where is he from?
He's a Serbian.
He was not born in Serbia.
Oh, this is tough.
I'm going to throw this one out. I've got disputing Yugoslavia. I've got disputing reports here because I see born in Lebanon, and then I also see born Lebanon. Excuse me, and then I also see born in Greece.
Chuck, I'm going to give you. I think it's one for nailing it.
I'm going to give you 1 point there, but this game is still alive, and that may I may be apologizing to you next week.
Okay.
All right, Keith.
Yep.
Right, can you come back?
I doubt it.
Can you come back? I'll make a hard one. Entered the league as a high-level scorer, including a season of 20.8 points per game and 11.7 rebounds per game in his third season with the Blazers. But his best role was as a tertiary weapon on two championship Lakers teams in 1987 and 1988. Also has great genes.
And in the USA.
Go ahead.
Vlade Divac?
Incorrect.
Wait, keep
also has great genes, as he has an NBA champion son named Clay.
Oh, a band in the U.S.
Keith?
Michael Thompson.
That's correct. Where is he from?
I was really thrown off. I don't know where Michael Thompson...
he was American.
I don't know where he was. I'm going to guess Canada.
Born in the Bahamas.
Oh, Bahamas.
Keith is still alive, but not making up a lot of ground here.
Yeah. Moving slow.
Okay. We'll make it a little easier. Three times All-NBA Defensive First Team in 2012... 2013 and 2014. Played for the Thunder, but has recently moved.
Band in the U.S.
All right, Keith.
Serge Ibaka.
And where is he from?
Republic of Congo. Democratic Whoa. Republic of Congo.
And that's a tie, boys.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Next. And now, like I said, I may be apologizing to Chuck because he really probably should have won with that Roni cycling, but that was a bit of a layup. I forgot about the heat element.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So next one, next correct answer wins.
Just be like if
a plotting force with a soft touch. His career was derailed by difficulties and foot injuries.
A band in the USA.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Jurnis Slagauskas.
That is correct. And where is he from? Because Chuck could steal this.
Oh, yeah.
Keep it alive.
Oh, I'm going to fail on this again. I'm going to go with. Was he born in? I'm going to go back to Yugoslavia.
Chuck, can you steal?
He is.
I'll give you a hint.
Czech.
He didn't wait for the hint.
Yeah, he's
the hint would have been.
He's Ukrainian.
He's from the same country as the greatest foreign-born player in my eyes, Arvydas Sabonis.
Oh, Lithuanian.
He's Lithuanian.
That's right.
That gives Keith a come-from-behind win that he perhaps did not earn. But I wasn't going to let DJ Rodicycle decide the day.
Yeah. God no.
John showing up with handwritten notes just warms my heart.
I'm just
these handwritten games.
I was just waiting for Hamed Haddadi to be thrown in there.
Yeah, someone who's literally banned.
Gentlemen,
he's literally banned from
someone
the US.
Who's literally not allowed to come to the US anymore.
The reason why I try not to prepare too much is because once I start preparing, I cannot stop.
Yeah,
I have handwritten notes here. And then and then notes that I typed into my phone while waiting around on set of 45 foreign-born NBA players, each with a paragraph I constructed.
That was amazing. Man, that was a good game of scones. Plop down. That was my steak and eggs right there, John.
There you go.
No, I guess getting back into the steak and eggs, mine was going to be Zach Randolph.
Duncan.
Who, for the first time in his career of over 1,100 games against the Phoenix Suns, he had two dunks and two made three-pointers.
Wow.
So Z-Bo, and this is a game after annihilating Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Just, I was ready to come into this podcast. I was like getting worked up all week talking about Rudy Gobert getting snubbed for an all-star game. Mm-hmm. And then he got ethered by Zach Randolph. And I was like, somebody else can argue that. That's not
throwing down dunks, paying people's electricity bills.
Oh, yeah.
Zach Randolph, the heart warmer.
Yeah. So that was perfect. Well, what's the opposite of steak and eggs? What's your cream of wheat? Worst of week. What's the worst thing you saw this week?
I'll kick it back to something that Chuck alluded towards, the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
And specifically, Dwayne Wade. If it's not spats over Instagram, it's Dwayne Wade. I mean, sure, you can say that what Charles Barkley has been doing is unpalatable, but to be honest, that is his job. He is a pundit. But then Dwayne Wade starts talking about how, like, you better watch out, Chuck, when people can Google what you've done in the past, Google what you've done in the past. Dwayne Wade's passed around more STDs than basketball if you Google him. I mean,
I have my safe search on. I don't even know how I...
He's married.
Is there an STD registry on Wikipedia?
Dwayne Wade has been cited in lawsuits for giving people herpes.
Does Basketball Reference have an STD tab?
It wouldn't surprise me. I can't navigate that website anyways, so... you definitely can't find it in mobile mode. I mean, this is a guy that flopped so much that last week he was untouched, missed a dunk, and the ref just blew the whistle and gave him a foul just because that's who he is.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade can't talk all this crap.
You think Bennett Salvatore was out there?
Easy.
He can't. I know he was
championship.
I know he was your guy.
It was. Well, here's the thing.
For ages, but he is unlikable, and he's making me take Rajon Rondo's side, and that makes me feel weird.
Even when he was my guy, I had like this underlying disdain for him as a player, especially after.
Whoa.
I loved him. I did. He brought me a championship, and I have undying love for him. But I got to the point where I was like, he dresses like a jerk. And he's the reason why Russell Westbrook gets away with what he does from a fashion standpoint. He never developed a three-point shot in 12 years with the Miami Heat, which made me angry, especially as his game kind of devolved from slashing scorer in the last couple of years of LeBron being in Miami. I always felt like he was the one that America should have hated over LeBron.
This is
absolutely.
This is unreasonable slander.
Cries over every call. Look, this is hindsight.
Kobe Bryant is a psychopath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The man has no, like, if you hear Dwayne Wade talk, it doesn't creep you out.
Yeah.
If you look Kobe Bryant in the face while he's talking, it's not natural.
Especially when he juts out that lower jaw.
Yeah, that's not natural.
And
Dwayne Wade didn't spend most of his career or the last third of his career like playing to the detriment of his team. Like he's always
give it time.
Yeah, give it time.
When you Google Charles Barkley, you get legendary tales of
throwing people through glass
gods
plates.
And monsters.
Right, spitting on children.
That's a man's man. Dwayne Wade, come on.
I did really get tickled at someone who pointed out, I don't know who it was, some heavily retweeted thing, pointing out that like Barkley says, you know, like LeBron needs to quit whining. Mm-hmm. LeBron says, Chuck lives paycheck to paycheck as an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. like easy, brother.
To the jugular. Yeah,
like, LeBron and Dwayne got very personal very quickly. I just thought it was really kind of a bad look. And, hey, if you want to talk about bar fights and gambling debts being reasons to indict a person, well, two-thirds of this podcast just went right down the toilet.
I've thrown people to first-floor plate glass windows. My favorite thing through all this is being reminded with the whole LeBron Sheriff Barkley tiff of Barkley talking about having to go to court for throwing a man through a window. And telling
I wish it was the third floor.
Yeah, he said it was on the first floor and he told the judge, I wish it was the third floor.
He's the best. Like,
I hated Charles Barkley for a number of years when he was, you know, speaking poorly against my Miami Heat and their superstar trio.
I mean, Charles says a lot of stupid stuff.
He does, but, you know.
But that's his job, to say stupid stuff.
As someone who never won a
championship. Let him do his job. Don't get so butthurt about
this stuff.
This
is all he has left. This is the only legacy. I mean, he'll be remembered as a great player.
His golf swing in this.
Do you guys even watch Inside the NBA?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious.
Never.
See, I never watch it anymore.
No.
It's like my religion.
Shit. Yeah, and so I know
that's
a lot
my temple.
I know a lot of big NBA fans do, but like I don't watch it. I don't watch any pregame shows or even postgame shows anymore, hardly. Mm-hmm. It's like I get the I don't know. I feel like I get my information just off kind of Twitter, or I watch the games or the highlights. Now that highlights are on demand,
no, I understand.
Once the game's over,
it's just something I enjoy doing.
I fire up my, you know.
I still love Ernie and Kenny.
I got you.
I love Ernie and Kenny.
I do not like Shaq. Except he did give us Shaq in a fool. Mm-hmm. But before I leave this topic and to get back to the Bulls as a whole, there is an amazing, amazing moment in a recent press conference. Of course, not involving Gar Foreman or John Paxson, who don't speak to the media. But they asked poor Fred Hoiberg, can you describe the last 5 days as of the Bulls franchise? And Hoiberg just goes, no.
so great.
So grim.
So great. So my worst of the week is the ongoing saga in the Cleveland Cavaliers with the Cleveland Cavaliers roster. They've basically set up a reality show, America's Next Backup Point Guard. They're bringing in
featuring non-point guards.
Why is this not on their team Facebook Live page?
This should be on like NBA.com.
How are these people not monetizing these things?
So they have they're talking about bringing in Mario Chalmers, he of Achilles heel ills, Kirk Heinrich,
Heinrich, born ready,
and Lance Stevenson,
born ready.
All of these players,
playmaker.
All of these players, LeBron James actively hates. You know, like
there's videotape of him hating these people.
I mean, yeah, like there's like videotape of Lance Stevenson blowing in his ear and Kirk Heinrich taking him down on a fast break like a linebacker, and Chalmers being Mario Chalmers and getting every single bit of vitriol that LeBron could muster on the court when he was with Miami. It's incredible to me, and I'm kind of on LeBron's side with this because he is leading the league in minutes as a player who has played just past Michael Jordan for most minutes played in the NBA.
Sucks.
It doesn't make sense that he's playing this many minutes in the regular season when they're just ready for they're just waiting. They could be the sixth seed in the East and make the NBA finals. So I don't understand what this, you know, obsession is with, but LeBron hates losing. They've had a losing month for the first time in forever.
2006.
Well, yeah. With the LeBron doesn't lose months. He loses a couple games, but he doesn't do what they've been doing now. So he's fed up. I get it. But you don't do that by just saying, let's find someone who no one else in the NBA wants, and maybe they'll be better. But that's apparently that's what they need to do because he can't be playing this many minutes in a regular season that doesn't matter.
Don't think Lance Stevenson is going to make your team no longer top heavy as
right. And that's, yeah, he's not a point guard. He's god awful to watch run any kind of offense.
Take that back.
You're telling me we have to put patches on jerseys, but they can't do a pay per view to let me watch Mario Chalmers and Lance Stevenson play one on one to earn the last spot in LeBron James's.
Can we just monetize things in the right way?
I'll watch Lance Stevenson play against a chair like Gian. I mean, I'll do it.
Yan Ling Ling? What? Yeah.
Sherman Yee.
My worst thing is the, I guess we should touch the McCollum, the CJ McCollum, Chandler Parsons.
Oh, so good.
It's good.
We hit the lottery by not signing you.
Right. So, a lot of angles to it. First of all, the Blazers team Twitter account came at Parsons.
Troll city.
Like absolutely came at Parsons, and that they got reprimanded. Like internally, they reprimanded the social media guy for being like, yeah, you did. So like Parsons had to call him out. You know, the Blazers tweeted the, you know, to whatever it is. To be fair, an NBA 3 is pretty far or whatever. Because
Parsons airballed.
Yeah. But then...
talking about Chandler Parsons upsets.
And then Parsons, you know, fired back with, you know, like good luck in the lottery or whatever, you know. But then CJ McCollum just obliterated Chandler Parsons.
It was the roast of all roasts.
So we won the lottery by not signing you, which is a fantastic.
Like
that just ended Chandler Parsons.
Gorgeous.
And CJ McCollum like looks like a little bitty kid. So this is like one of those horrible Jerry Maguire moments where you get sunned by an adorable little toddler.
You have a little Richie from Family Matters.
So all this was fine. And at this point, I felt bad for Chandler Parsons because he actually had been suckered into this war. Like they came at him and, you know, you kind of have to respond. And he had a pretty good dig.
But
then he came back with, turns out I actually won the lottery.
Literally.
Yeah, like, which is and I know I'm not reading these tweets verbatim, but that strikes at the hearts of all Grizzlies fans who have not been happy about him since he showed up.
He's been garbage.
Making my eye twitch right now.
And just being very nervous because there's some of that.
Do you have any Lipitor?
There's some of that external stuff like this. He isn't very Memphis, but that all is pretty ridiculous. Like right. I don't care. Obviously, as Grizzlies fans from not living in Memphis, we're like that's y'all's an identity, but it's made up. And like if he had a big beard, does that make him more Memphis? Like that doesn't make any sense.
Yes,
the answer is yes.
But the most Memphis player is from Spain. Right. You know, like
but
to become a Grizzly, he needs to gain a lot of weight and grow a beard.
Yeah, but him being so bad on the court. And to imply I signed a 4-year, $94 million contract, I hit the lottery because guess what?
My feet are kicked up.
Yeah, like I'm not doing anything.
I'm paid.
Kind of a bad look. So that was my that's my worst week.
You have ruined the show.
How about
I can't even focus now. How about secondary
worst of week? That four overtime Hawks Knicks fiasco.
Best worst game ever.
Debacle.
My eyes were on fire.
Worst part about all that is
I feel like I was watching college basketball.
We were going to watch the Royal Rumble.
That's right. It was delaying our Rumble experience.
We almost missed the undercard of Ric Flair's daughter and some girl who dances like a hip hop dancer before her.
That would have been a tragedy. You're referring to Bailey.
Bailey, yes.
The hugger.
Bailey the hugger.
The refs took control of that game. That was brutal. The Knicks had no players by the end.
Yeah.
The Knicks got a
Chris
raw deal.
And Melo
coming down the...
Courtney Lee from hero to zero faster than I've seen in some time.
But isn't it time that the NBA takes a look at the situation with fouls when it comes to overtime? Because I think you should get an extra foul if you go into overtime. Just one more. Everyone on the team gets extra foul. That way we're not, you know.
Although then, you know, we just start fouling a lot.
Why are overtimes 5 minutes?
I don't understand.
How long would you want them? Another 12?
In my mind, it should at least be some easy multiple or like that's 12 divisible by.
Right.
Like six. 2, 3, or 4.
Okay. Short.
Short.
Yeah.
Like 3 makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Like because the quarter is 12 minutes. Something about it would be a 48-minute game mm-hmm. and then a 5. Mm-hmm. A 5 makes no sense to add to 48.
53 minutes of basketball,
I can't. I don't know if I can enunciate why that's wrong, mm-hmm. but I feel like it's wrong. Those numbers
doesn't.
5 doesn't go into 48.
Right. It's aesthetically lumpy.
Was that 9.6? That's not right.
That's gross.
Yeah.
There's nothing as unpalatable as watching Melo and Dennis Schroeder trade hero shots.
I mean,
daggers.
I will say I kind of like, though.
Millsap was king.
Part of me likes when you do get to the end of the bench, when you're in a 3-overtime playoff game and you're like, good God, Lionel Hollins just fouled out O.J. Mayo, and now we have to play Grievous Vasquez the whole overtime.
Right.
But that's kind of fun.
It was. I had a good time with it. It wasn't. It wouldn't make it into my cream of wheat.
Like,
at all.
I just wanted to stop watching. And then it's like, oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Kept going.
My wife hates overtimes. That's one of her least favorite things in all sports.
Oh, really?
It's one of those things. You're like, oh, we're watching the game. Okay, the game is... Oh, the game's not over?
Right.
Like, she's all like, well, I thought we were going to go to dinner.
Right.
No? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Wrong again, Vanessa.
It's like you're watching a TV show that's normally 30 minutes, and then it goes an extra 20. You're like, no, that's not... It shouldn't happen that way. But yeah. But there should be penalty shots or something. You should take half word after the second overtime.
Chris Bosch's value goes through the roof.
After the first overtime, no timeouts.
Yeah.
Like, come on, people.
Just keep going.
You've already got all your commercial money. You did it.
That would be kind of a cool thing. Like after 3 overtimes or 2 overtimes, you're just taking half court shots.
Let's go hockey. 3-on-3.
And also
3-on-3 overtime.
Also in the overtime, you're reviewing everything.
Yeah.
Every single out of bounds is reviewed.
Always,
this is a nightmare.
It's just so gross.
Coaches have to play. Jeff Hornacek.
Yeah, I would like the Heat in that. They got Juwan Howard getting crazy minutes.
Hornacek versus Budenholzer would be. That would have been some game.
Especially with them wearing those bow ties.
Oh,
that's a good thought.
Both of them looked amazing in
bow ties. What's your all NBA coach team if you needed to pick a starting five of coaches?
Rambis, McHale.
Are we talking
Lionel
current
Hollins.
Head coaches?
Current head coaches in the NBA.
I tell you who's dead last no matter what. Don't care who else you throw out there, including Stan Van Gundy. Luke Walton's last.
I don't know. I'd like to see
I think
Scotty Brooks.
Earl Watson.
Earl Watson. Maybe
I mean, Earl
Scott
Watson's
Skiles
the
coming
closest.
Off the bench somewhere
Jason
with 30
Kidd
assists.
Jason
Kidd is still ready.
I think I could watch him play.
Jason Kidd's going to play soon.
Some would say Steve Kerr, but that's only if you haven't seen him walk in person in the last 3 years.
Terrifying.
It's very painful.
He's just
it's uncomfortable to be around.
That dude's been through a lot.
He's just wincing. Mm-hmm. He just winces the whole time.
Hoiberg.
Oh,
I bet Hoiberg
can shoot
still
it.
Let it fly.
Thunder Dan Marley's on somebody's bench somewhere.
I bet Thibodeau has a good post game.
Yeah, Jerry Stackhouse is on somebody's.
Oh, he's Raptors 905. Yeah. Are we going to the D League?
We'll go D League.
Nick Van Exel.
Yeah, Nick Van Exel on the bench. All right, so those were our cream of weeds. Now for a brief, scattered, smothered, covered. What do we need to get to before the awards segment?
It's been kind of some fishy stuff going on in the NBA.
Oh,
what's that smell?
It smells like a little bit of a conspiracy.
Is this Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week? Of the every
every couple.
Twice a year?
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
It's been a while.
This used to be a standard on the show.
We've you guys been remember it. Scorned Heat fan texts? Those were good.
Those were good, too.
Back in the day.
Turn it back to season one.
I don't know if you guys were reading, but Derek Fisher was recently robbed. He wasn't there when he was robbed, but his home was...
Of his dignity by Matt Barnes?
That was taken months and months ago. Derek Fisher's home was robbed in California of $300,000 in jewelry, including, reportedly, 5 championship rings.
How much? Thousands of dollars?
$300K.
Wow.
So he got yoked up, and I think there's only one person that we can put on the dead center of the suspects list, and that is Mr. Matt Barnes. Some of you go, well, he has an alibi. He was in Houston the night of the robbery helping the Kings lose. But this is how it goes. He worked out a deal with the New York City prosecutor, as he turned himself in on Wednesday, for assault charges in a nightclub brawl from December.
That does sound like an airtight alibi. Mm-hmm. Is it not? Oh, so you're saying he's in New York?
He was in Houston. There's video proof.
Where is Derek Fisher's home? I'm sorry, I don't know that part of the story.
That's in California.
Okay.
Maybe he paid Robert Swift to break in there.
So he basically worked out a deal with the...
That's not okay, Jim.
That's not okay. Matt Barnes worked out a deal with the New York prosecutor who happens to be a salty Knicks fan and hates Derek Fisher. And that prosecutor...
Like you do.
...rounded up his best... home invader and sent him, paid for a ticket for him to go to LA and steal a bunch of his jewelry. 2 days later, Matt Barnes turns himself in and everything works out fine. So I don't know if it's happened, but in my world, that's for sure what
Matt
happened.
Barnes and Steve Francis ever played on the same team?
Ooh,
it's a good question.
Stevie Franchise has been doing a little burglarizing himself lately.
Has he?
I mean, NBA TV's own Rex Chapman.
That's right.
He's robbing some Apple stores.
Yeah.
But actually, Chuck, so your conspiracy theory, I feel like you've taken me 2/3 of the way through a Law & Order episode.
Right.
But what you're missing is the little final twist.
Chris Noth.
It wasn't actually Matt Barnes. I think it was Matt Barnes' ex-wife, Derek Fisher's current kind of lady friend.
Lady friend.
On the inside job.
Oh, the long
stealing.
Con.
She's stealing the $300,000 of goods.
A la Kim Kardashian in Paris getting robbed.
All the pieces fit.
I think it all makes sense.
So, I mean, I don't
know. But really,
if I was writing the story, that's where that's where I'd probably end
Keith
up.
Keith going with the handmaiden version of the events.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a double fakie, no fakie.
It's always the person you don't expect who you should expect.
Yeah,
I just wish Chuck could have thrown in like a Columbo. And one more thing. One more thing.
Chuck, you make a good Columbo.
I do. I could do the eye thing.
Yeah, there
eye
you goes go. All wonky. Boy, I wish people could see this right now. Key Riced. Yeah, one more thing. Chuck was like Yosemite Sam just then.
I get it. That's good. That's good audio programming.
No,
right
no video cast ever.
We got to, yeah.
Sorry.
Just what Chuck just did with his
just
face.
Just Google Peter Falk's eyes, and you'll see what my face did.
Between threatening to eat every hot dog in the world on the podcast and now giving me the death stare with one living eye and one dead eye, no video cast will ever happen.
Well, between Dion Waiters, Player of the Week, and Steven Jackson admitting he smoked weed, can we go full circle? What do you guys say about Larry Sanders maybe coming back?
That's a great show on HBO.
Hey now!
Oh, hey now.
I Celtics, right? That's who he worked out for?
He said he worked out for the Celtics. You know, I feel like it seems like a team such as the Warriors would love to get him.
Yeah.
It seems like a perfect fit.
I will be furious.
Why aren't the Cavs working him out? Why, you know, Larry Sanders was...
He can't shoot the ball.
He can't. But
he's another Tristan Thompson.
He was an incredible rim defender. He could rebound with the best of them. He could be a role player.
Gave the best post-foul thumbs-ups ever.
I liked him a lot. I always thought that in my head, he would be great on the current Bucks team. Even if he went back to Milwaukee.
Although they have so many centers that don't play.
So many long-armed John Hensonites.
People who can't shoot.
Yeah. But I think, you know, he would be good to defend the rim on a contending type team. San Antonio could use him if they could put him in there.
Dwayne Dedman.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, yeah. It's fine. No, I think you're right. I think he would fit in as a center, assuming he can get back to somewhere, you know, where roughly to where he was.
If he was, you know, even 25 or 30% below what he was at his peak when he was playing, he would be a fine addition to any contender. as a, you know, eighth, ninth man off the bench.
Before we get to the iShop, I'm curious of the thing I've been most noticing. We talked about the team struggling after the All-Star break, or since Christmas, or since the first of the year, what have you. The Raptors, like the Bucks, the Hornets,
not great.
Are they real trouble? Well, like maybe the Raptors. Like the Raptors for so long, I assume were still like a top five, the you know, like the fifth best team or so.
No.
Now I'm like, are they better than the Pacers? Because I'm not sure. Because they are really in a funk.
There's something to be said for like the unsustainability of what Kyle Lowry was doing early in the season as well.
And DeRozan, right.
Right.
So I don't know. Yeah. So you think they're legit trouble?
I mean, define trouble. I mean, they're going to be fine because they're in the East.
Like, are they still? Well, I think for so long it seemed, at least we spent the first 2 to 3 months of the season assuming it was Celtics Raptors,
right?
You know,
behind the
Cavs, and now it looks like it might just be the whole door of everyone is back open.
Right, Wizards right. are Where, in play for
like
a second
like
seed.
The Wizards for the last 20 games. I think the 16-4 last 20.
You probably wouldn't want to take the Raptors in a series against the Wizards or Celtics right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If those, I mean, they'll start right now. So, and so
if that's how you define trouble, then yes.
That's what I'm wondering. If this is just, is it more than a swoon, or were they tricking us for a while and now they're back? Kind of just like they're a 50-win team. They're a good team, but they're not one of these elite teams. I don't know. Something I'll be watching. But anyway, let's move to the awards segment of the program, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, awarded each week to the worst performance in a box score.
I got a feeling I know who this one is.
There's only one person. I'm going to write his name down. I'm not going to show you guys.
Go ahead and put that in the vault there, uh-huh. Chuck. Go ahead and put that in the vault. This performance, which I assume you're all writing down, one of the greatest games of spite and pettiness I think I've ever seen since Kobe Bryant. Anyway, we have a handful of honorable mentions. Justin Holiday, Langston Galloway, both going 1-for-9. Tim Hardaway in that 4 overtime game, an impressive 5-for-20.
Mm.
You play 60 minutes, stuff happens.
Some amazing turnovers in that one.
Yeah, Anthony Davis, also honorable mention, saved with an 18-point, 17-rebound stat line, but was 4-for-18. Okay, our three nominees. Oh, also Russ Westbrook, honorable mention, 7-for-26. Whew. I think only 3 turnovers that game.
More to come.
All right. Our 3 nominees, which occurred chronologically between January 25th and January 31st. Jimmy Butler, coming off the bench in a loss to the Miami Heat. 1-for-13, 3 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 turnovers. I see some eyebrows raised. Our second nominee, Jabari Parker. 2-for-13, 4 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 turnovers. And James Harden in a loss to the Pacers, 3-for-17, 15 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, 8 turnovers, 5 fouls. So we have Jimmy Butler.
Doing some more visual humor for the audio-only podcast.
So let's raise... John has raised his little personal psychopath notes. It says Butler in the scrawlings of a child with a large marker.
Yep.
And then Chuck on his little... Why do you guys both have notepads? I like this. Like actual physical notepads.
I write stuff down all the time.
Yeah. So Chuck in the scrawl of a... That's, you know, the handwritten print of like a high schooler boy.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Mine is very similar. Also Jimmy Butler. Yeah, it's Jimmy Butler.
I mean,
Jimmy
Butler. There's no way.
The circumstances also.
The circumstances made it for grand theater.
Yeah. He had a negative 6.5 game score.
Which is a basketball reference game score, which that's very low.
Very, very low. It is only the 286th game with a game score that low since 1983, which is a weird number.
I like that.
He is, that's... If you restrict that query to games with over 33 minutes played, he is tied for 35th worst all time, the 35th worst game ever played in the NBA.
Wow.
And he did it.
The second best player in the East.
And he did it in response to criticism and being benched by his coach.
After talking trash about his teammates.
I know we usually begin the show with an apology, but I'm going to end the show with an apology to Bulls fans. Sorry that we have just ravaged your team this episode.
And we haven't even gone into all of it because there's still the front office spying.
Well,
on players.
Our foreman is like the Sean Spicer.
Right. There's talk that basically Jimmy Butler was pulled into a room and said, look, you're going to sign a lesser contract or we're going to give you crap minutes and play Tony Snell more.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, it's like TMZ level ridiculousness.
They sold their soul for Michael Jordan.
That's it.
That's right.
It's the whole.
They're just reaping it now, man.
That's it. Derrick
Rose.
We've
talked a lot about the. We had a Bulls guest 2 weeks ago. We had Daniel Coughlin back on. Mm-hmm. We talked Bulls. You know,
that was a great interview.
Couple of times, but yeah, no. There's more we can go into. Yeah, this is as we said, this is a franchise doesn't know what it's doing. Yeah.
Dumpster fire.
Cannot choose a course. Mm-hmm. Cannot stick with the course of what they're doing.
But and I was having
Jay Cutler.
Thoughts about this with the thoughts about this with the Bulls. You know, we've got 3 years left of the, you know, Cavs LeBron prime. You know, get rid of Jimmy Butler now for a bucket of picks. You know, go to the net. You know, go to the Celtics. Go to whoever and try to do that process like process to electric boogaloo.
But the way that they've put their team together in the offseason shows that they value marquee players and bringing people in and like. They feel like they have to have big splashes.
But Chuck, your plan it would be akin to fixing healthcare, but leaving Trump in charge. Like until GARPACs are gone, right. who knows?
Yeah, because they haven't really drafted well. They got lucky with Derrick Rose. I mean, Taj Gibson and Jimmy Butler were both picks that they kind of hit the lottery on.
Yeah,
you know, randomly got great players. But yeah, they haven't done well in free agency, and I don't think they're that good.
Yep. All right. Par fade away before we do a brief Grizzlies epilogue. Another lame duck Grizzlies epilogue.
Chuck and I going to Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
Next Wednesday.
Chuck and I going to Memphis.
That's
big
good.
Suns game.
Big Suns. That will be.
Look out.
Hey.
I'll put the over-under on a courtside seat on StubHub at $120.
We almost got courtside seats for $45. I'm ready to go see Devin Booker and his. I think he's got 11 consecutive 20-plus games.
I think it's more now. But yeah.
I'm just mostly excited about going to Jerry Lawler's restaurant.
Ooh.
Jerry Lawler with a new barbecue restaurant.
I think I'm going to both restaurants.
He's got
Slam Burgers and the barbecue place.
That's awesome.
And Coyote Ugly.
So Memphis
wearing
fans,
a luchador mask.
Keep your eyes out. I believe that's February 8th. Looks like Chuck and John will be.
If you see a man wearing a luchador mask, a Memphis Grizzlies luchador mask, and his beard's poking out from under it, run.
Yeah. Run.
I'll double down on my part fadeaway. It's one, seeing which one of these East teams is truly in trouble. Will the Hornets and Bucks ever win again? And also our watch party on the February 3rd. All right, well, you guys, thanks for listening. Remember, write an iTunes review in February, and we will read it on air if you want to say hi to your grandma or something. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. Welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. The Grizzlies Nuggets game is about to tip off.
I think Mike Conley just shot another three-pointer.
Man, the Grizzlies. So they lost to the Trailblazers in a game. They refused to play defense until the end, and then they were mad. The refs screwed them, but who cares? They played horrible the whole game, and even the shot attempts, they still had the ball and chances to do things, and they made really weird decisions. Then they beat the Jazz because the Jazz are like the poor man's Grizzlies and cannot beat us in our own game. And then the Suns game was just ridiculous. The one where Zeebo's going crazy, and the team hit all the threes.
Cherish that Zeebo dunk, Grizz fans. You'll never see another.
You know what? I'll cherish that Vince Carter 360 layup.
Right before his birthday.
He looked great.
40 years of excellence.
I'm still on record of saying he is horse hormones in basketball shoes right now. He is turning back the clock.
They need to take some of his blood and inject it right into LeBron's follicles.
But the other thing is the Grizz now, it's the first time forever they've been injury-free. Brendan Wright's back.
Brendan Wright has only played the Suns in the last 3 years.
That's incredible.
It's true. Like his last game was like 14 months ago against the Suns. So he's only played in Phoenix.
So Chandler Parsons is injurious, though.
Yeah. To act like Chandler Parsons is not on the injury list, you're like, he's not injured. Yeah, he can only play every 4 days for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like that's not normal.
No.
Like that's
damn
not,
him.
That's not normal. The big news is they waived Troy Williams.
That hurt
for Tony Douglas in a move that to me makes almost no sense because as we've talked about,
I'm ecstatic about Troy clearing waivers though.
Yeah, so Troy Williams did clear waivers, which means he can join the Grizzlies for the Iowa Energy, and they do maintain some control over his continued development. And hopefully, I'm still hopeful before trade deadline, which is in 2 weeks, this Tony Douglas, he signed a 10-day contract, and he can sign another 10-day contract. And then at the end of that, we will be at the trade deadline. So I'm kind of hopeful. You know, maybe they work out a player getting moved. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Maybe that playmaker LeBron wants is, in fact, Tony Douglas.
Right.
Well, it makes sense that he was on their roster.
I assume Tony Douglas was going to get signed by the Cavs. But anyway, yeah. Tony Douglas, again, he's fine, but he's not good. He's a fringe 30-year-old point guard.
Right.
Like, he doesn't definitely deserve to be on a team. And with the Grizzlies locked in to certainly making the playoffs, either the 6 or the 7 seed, like, there's no way they can fall out of the playoffs. For me, I'm like, man, just give all the minutes to horrible Wade and horrible Andrew Harrison.
Right.
And who cares?
Right.
Because Troy Williams is the thing that teams have been desiring in the NBA. He's a wing with length and speed and athleticism.
Right.
You know, he's an older rookie. But he's still he's only like 22. Like, he legit showed promise.
I think this is a Fizdale thing, because watching the games as closely as we do, have you noticed that Fizdale does not like Wade Baldwin? Because he does not like Wade Baldwin.
Yeah.
Because he gives him the business with the eyeball. There's a term I want to use, but I won't use, Keith.
I appreciate
for
it.
For your editing skills.
No, I mean, but still, like, there's no cutting bait with Wade Baldwin.
No.
Right. So for me, it's like, I don't care. Like, this was the problem with Jaeger. Like, one of the best offseason signings in the NBA this year was James Ennis for whatever it was, three years, $8 million or something. Right. The Grizzlies had him for less than that last year and waived him.
Right. Right.
Like, he would have been signed for this year, but Jaeger desperately wanted another center. Mm-hmm. And so they finally cut up. So I don't like the idea of the coach being like, I don't want to play this player you've given me. Go get me a guy who does not really deserve to be in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it tells you a little bit about who, you know, stirs the drink.
And I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, that's your theory, John, based on body language and such.
It looks that way to me. And he obviously, I mean, they liked what they saw in Tony before, I reckon.
Oh, I mean, they were 6-1 when he played? I can't remember.
Yeah.
He
had that game winner.
They were very good when he played. Well, that was,
the Tony Douglas game.
That was the Dame Lillard game, where Damian Lillard would not stop fouling Tony Douglas on jumpers in the last 30 seconds.
So good.
That was such a hilarious loss for the Blazers. Ha! That's a team I like kicking. Any Blazers fans stuck around for the epilogue? So again, they're going to play the Nuggets. John, you placed a large bet on the Grizzlies. I'm very nervous about this game. I'll go ahead and say that before this gets released.
Career loser.
Yeah. So I'm no closer to understanding this Grizzlies team. I'm a little weirded out by the roster move they made. Yeah. But, you know, it's not a big deal, but I kind of got real hooked onto Troy Williams. I mean, I was in Memphis for that block shot, beating the Warriors, dunking on everybody. It looked like he had promise. Anyway, all right, so that's our Grizzlies epilogue. Remember, if you're in Nashville, come to Double Dogs West on Charlotte Avenue, Sylvan Heights area this Friday. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. You guys are the best.
Arrive safely.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fan break, man, you understand?